Last summer, our entire region suffered from choking wildfire smoke for weeks on end. Stores sold out of N95 face masks. Children and seniors were told to stay indoors, and at times, and in some places, everyone was told to stay indoors. Many experts say that mitigating summer wildfires requires reducing fuels in the woods, and the most cost-effective way to do that is by prescribed burns. But that means being exposed to smoke during times of the year when we're used to clean air. A new study from researchers at the Stanford University School of Medicine has concluded that smoke from controlled burns is actually less harmful to children than smoke from wildfires themselves. Dr. Mary Pernicki was the lead author of the study. She's an MD and an instructor in the Sean N. Parker Center for Allergy and Asthma Research at Stanford, and she joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Dr. Pernicki.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Just great. Thanks for joining us. Tell us about the particulars of the study. Where and when was it done?
Well, we had already collected data on over 200 children that lived within an hour of Yosemite in the Fresno area. So we looked retrospectively at those children who had their blood drawn either 90 days after a wildfire in Yosemite or 90 days after a prescribed burn. That was a similar magnitude, distance, and duration from the children. And then we looked at the blood and clinical outcomes to try to compare the impacts of the prescribed burn versus the wildfire.
So Fresno in that area has pretty bad air in general because of its geography.
Correct.
And its climate, and it's also, you know, its proximity to pretty intensive agriculture. So how did you isolate the wildfire smoke from the general, shall we say, less than stellar Fresno air?
You're correct. We typically study down there because of the increased air pollution. We were not able to separate out the PM2.5 from the wildfire smoke from the other types of pollutants, but we were able to see changes in levels of particulate that corresponded to the duration of the wildfire, and we also looked at those same changes for the prescribed burn.
So what specific compounds were you looking for in the children's blood?
So we look at different immune markers. In particular, we've published studies before showing that methylation of a particular immune gene changes when children are exposed to increased air pollution. So we looked at the methylation of that same gene in these children, and we found that similar to typical air pollution, there was an increase in methylation associated with the children exposed to the wildfire. And what this means is that the gene is kind of downregulated, and so it produces less of these healthy immune cells.
So this particular gene, is it involved in sort of mitigating allergic reactions? Is that my understanding?
It's involved in allergic reactions and various types of immune reactions. This particular one of the cells we study is a T regulatory cell, and so it's like the peacekeeper cell of the immune system. It's good to have T regulatory cells. It keeps everything in balance and in check.
We're talking with Dr. Mary Pernicki. She's the lead author of a new study from Stanford University about the effects of wildfire smoke versus controlled burn smoke on the health of children. So, Dr. Pernicki, children are obviously a vulnerable population, so public health officials are quick to urge them to get indoors when wildfire smoke is present. But do you think your findings extend to other vulnerable groups or actually to the general population?
Well, I think study is too preliminary, but if we look at the studies that have already been done on wildfire in general, we know that the younger children and also adults age 65 and older, and also those with pre-existing chronic respiratory and cardiovascular diseases are more at risk. So all of those populations should be more cautious when it comes to wildfire smoke exposure.
So getting back to your study, when we look at the actual smoke, so you compared a wildfire exposure and an actual prescribed burn, and they were right about the same intensity and size. But is the effect on children's health a matter of quantity versus quality of the smoke, or is it both?
Well, in this study, we knew that both burns came from the same type of tree. So relatively the same type of particulate matter. We know that particulate matter composition changes depending on, you know, what is being burned. So this type of smoke in comparison to, for example, what happened during the campfire is very different in its composition and probably toxicity.
So the campfire in Butte County last year blanketed the Bay Area for a few days with some really nasty smoke, and a lot of the particulate matter in that fire smoke was from burning buildings, so it had a lot of, you know, combusted vinyl and who knows what else in it. So the smoke that you studied in the Fresno area did not have any structure smoke in it?
No, it was just from trees. And so my hypothesis that the particulate matter from this study is less toxic than, for example, the campfire, where all these other structures and chemicals and other things are going up in flames.
So you would assume then that with your study showing that particular wildfire smoke was worse than controlled burn smoke, you would assume that wildfire smoke that contained structure smoke would be even worse for children.
Correct. But there, to my knowledge, there aren't studies, you know, directly comparing that. It's very hard to do given the nature of wildfires.
Sure. Dr. Mary Prunicki is our guest this morning. She's an MD and instructor at the Shannon Parker Center for Allergy and Asthma Research at Stanford. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Maybe you have questions about the effects of wildfire on your own kids. Dr. Prunicki, typically prescribed burns are done when humidity and wind conditions are going to lift the smoke away from population centers. So I imagine you're not saying that it's okay to hang out near a prescribed burn and breathe the smoke for kids, right?
That's correct. No smoke is the best option. And because they don't do a prescribed burn when the winds are high, you know, that decreases the amount of exposure anyone is going to get from a prescribed burn anyhow. But yeah, we're not saying it's a good thing to be exposed to any type of wildfire, prescribed burn smoke at all.
So aside from the implication that, you know, if we're going to have smoke, prescribed burn smoke is better, did your research lead to any specific recommendations for people when smoke is present?
No, I mean, it's a very preliminary study. It's retrospective. The next step, ideally, would be a randomized controlled trial, but given the nature of the setting and the ethics involved, that's just not possible. It just is consistent with what we found before with our air pollution research. And so our next steps are going to be more, you know, what can we do to help mitigate the health effects from wildfire smoke exposure?
So that was actually going to be my next question. You know, what future research are you planning here? I mean, it sounds like the study was from children whose blood had already been drawn for other reasons.
Correct.
What kinds of research now do you want to do to further this line of inquiry?
So, well, what we'd like to do this coming wildfire season is look at what we can do during wildfire smoke exposure. And so what we'll be doing is looking at people's blood before and after a wildfire in homes where people are using air purifiers versus homes that are not using the air purifiers. And we want to see if we can help quantify how much an air purifier will improve your health during wildfire smoke exposure.
So there's a chance that the air purifiers that many of us ran out and bought last summer and the N95 masks are maybe not as effective as we want them to be?
Well, we know that they're effective, but we don't have any guidelines on when should you be running them, and are there certain, you know, populations that you should be running them, you know, the entire time during the wildfire smoke exposure. So we want to help, you know, and we don't have any guidelines at what level should you turn on your air purifier. So we know that the HEPA filters will filter the particulate matter, but we don't have any corresponding health implications, especially regarding the immune system, in using the air purifiers.
And will you perhaps be able to go back to other populations, maybe you know, closer to the campfire, for example, in Butte County, and look at blood that was already drawn, or is it actually too late for that kind of a study?
Well, unfortunately, yeah, we don't have any blood that was drawn prior to the campfire in that area. During the campfire, we did collect some blood on campus at Stanford, and then we recollected the blood a few months later when the air quality was better, and we're in the process of analyzing that blood. That study obviously was kind of done backwards. And so this summer on campus, we will also be collecting basically baseline blood from people, and then if we do have another wildfire event, such as the campfire, we will be monitoring those people during the exposure and after the exposure to see if there are any changes in their blood and in their health outcomes.
Well, and since wildfire smoke is likely to be an ongoing part of our lives here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, it looks like we'll be monitoring your research as well and probably have you back on the show to talk about more research down the road. Dr. Mary Pernicki is the lead author of a new study from the Sean N. Parker Center for Allergy and Asthma Research at Stanford University on the availability, or I shouldn't say availability, but the effects of wildfire versus prescribed burn smoke on children. Dr. Pernicki, thanks for being with us this morning on the Jefferson Exchange.